So you actually thought we were going to go all summer and not have a garden sermon, right? No, you didn't. Not really. I didn't plant a garden this summer. You know, it's been my thing. I guess you noticed there haven't been any produce here. Didn't plant one this summer. Wasn't feeling it. Wanted to take a year and not plant. And God knew what was going on and just didn't plant one, but still have a sermon. And God had laid this on my heart weeks ago, and then he began to reinforce it and reinforce it. So I don't know that I'm excited every sermon that I have an opportunity to share with you, but I don't know that I've been this excited to share a sermon with you in a while. Because I think in studying for this and in preparing for this, it was able to unlock a part in my past as a Christian that I wish I would have known 30 years ago, that I wish I would have applied. It really was able to open up some windows of understanding where I can see the years of my life where, as a Christian, I still walked around without a peace, without a joy. Even though I was tied to Christ, I had an issue. And I think what we're going to learn today is that it had to do with my whole makeup, not about the circumstances that happened to me, but about me. And it'll apply to you also. So today I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. When you find your place, just say, "I have it." Colossians 2. I want to read to you the part of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He was talking about living a life with Christ, being in Christ. Like when you begin to live as a child of God, you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you're living with Christ in you. You're tied, or you're connected to Christ. So listen to verses 6 through 10. He says, "As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted," say that word with me, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him." Say that word with me, complete. "Complete. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and all power." Amen. Amen. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I pray that you take your word today and press it upon our hearts, Lord. Let us be able to learn and grow and show us ourselves today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Every year, as we experience the spring and the summer seasons, we're able to see something happen that really gives us a wonderful picture of our spiritual lives. In the spring, we begin to see things blossom and bloom, and we see the evidence of this new life come into the plants and the trees when we see the leaves begin to get green, and then we see the plants and trees begin to bear fruit. The fruit of that plant is then evaluated by us, and we say either it was a good year for that crop or it was a bad year for that crop. How many people have ever made that statement? Well, this is good this year, or this didn't do good. We evaluate it by the what? By the what? By the fruit. We would evaluate that corn by the ear of corn. We would evaluate apples by the apple tree. We would evaluate cantaloupes by the cantaloupe. We could go on and on, right? But they either did good or they didn't, but we always evaluate them by the fruit. I noticed this week there was an article in the paper that was talking about this year's corn crop. I've been working on this sermon for a couple of weeks, and I thought, God, thank you, because this just solidifies and shows everything. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how that ties in, because I noticed, I read this article. Anybody in here read that article on the corn crop? All right. Talking about the corn crop in our county, this, our area, and after a devastating year last year for the corn crop, because there was no rain in the growing season, that this year it was saying that even though it was dry, the rain came at the right time to help the corn to produce a good crop. You say, well, is that something to preach about today? Well, it is. It really is. Not just because I like corn, not just because we want to have corn, but there's a bigger deal. I want you to see that today God's got a picture that if you can put it in your mind, it will help you stay stronger in your walk with God. It'll help you actually come to God if you're not saved. So think about this, and it all has to do with this corn crop and the way this corn stalk looked. You see, this article, it fell right in line with a sermon because it was talking about this corn crop, but it talked about two specific areas. Number one, it talked about the fruit of this corn stalk. You know what the fruit of this corn stalk is? Say it again. It's the ear of corn, right? And then the next part it talked about, it said these two things have to be right. In order for the fruit to be right, you have to have the right amount of rain, which we know nourishes the corn, and the minerals, the vitamins go in through the corn, and the corn is good. It either does good, we evaluate it, or does bad. So it talked about the fruit of the corn, and it talked about the rain, what supplies the sustenance in it. And what I noticed is it didn't talk about the reason that the corn had to have continual rain. You see, and I showed you this morning why the corn has to have continual rain. You see, the sermon today is about roots. It's not about the ear of corn. It's not about the stalk of corn. It's about the roots of the corn. And it's something that you may not have realized until today. I realized it when I was younger, but I never applied it. I know that growing up farming, there were a lot of times when I was picking corn, and I was picking corn to sell, and I was picking truckloads of corn, and I would go through there as quick as I could, and I was looking at the corn. You would feel it first. You go through that. Anybody, can I get a witness? You ever went through the cornfield? And so you're feeling it to see if it's full and filled out, because it's going to have two ears on there usually, maybe three in some years, but it's going to have two ears on there, and you feel that corn. When it feels full, you turn it real quick and do it. But sometimes the whole stalk would come out. It wasn't good when the stalk came out, because there's another ear of corn left on there that might not be good. My dad, he wasn't in favor of me being reckless when I pulled corn, because it could pull it right up. And I realized they're not deeply rooted. So I bring you this morning, and I'm showing you this. You know, here's the corn. As big as its stalk is, and it, as majestic as it looks as it goes up there, and look at the roots. I'm talking about the dirt came to here. These roots, a lot of them are on top of the ground, but they never went down far into the ground. They just went and phew, I'll get what rain I get. I mean, when it rains, I'm going to soak it up and I'm going to grow. That's what the article talked about. Well, we got rain at the right time, so it grew. You see, if you notice that stalk of corn, you'll see that those roots don't run deep in the ground. If it doesn't have a good supply of rain, it is not going to produce. It has to have steady rain. It has to have consistent rain. It has to have rain at exactly the right time. And if it goes without rain for a while, and you saw that several weeks ago, how many people were able to look at the fields and see it begin to wither up? Now, if it didn't get that rain at exactly the right time, you would have no fruit. It wouldn't produce fruit, right? It's probably not going to want to stand up straight. I don't want you distracted. Let's see. Lord, help it to stand. You say, it's really going to distract you, isn't it? It is. See, the roots of that corn stalk, the roots of any plant, the roots of a tree are really the most important part of that plant. But they're hidden. You don't see it. When you drive by those cornfields that have all that corn on it, you never say, hey, I bet those corn stalks are rooted firmly in the ground, do you? No, the roots are the hidden part. We always look at the fruit. We always look at how majestic the leaves are. We look at the outside part, but the roots are the most important part. The life of that plant has to come through the root. If the root is not deep and does not go deep into the earth and stay moist and receive nourishment, then the plant or the tree will wither and die in the summer season when the sun beats down and the moisture is dried up on top of the surface of the earth. You see, the plant not only will not produce fruit, it may even die, because it needs to be fed and has to come through the roots. It doesn't come through the top. And you may say, well, this is a great little agricultural sermon. I'm glad that you imparted this little agricultural wisdom on us. I don't see how this is going to apply to me. And I'm telling you that it's monumental. As I began to look at this corn and I look back on my life, I was like, yeah, that's it. It all had to do with my root system. You see, if my root was deeper in what it needed to be in, then when all those hard times, those summer times, those hot days, those unbearable, oppressive days came, well, I wouldn't have withered so quick. No wonder I wasn't bearing any fruit back then. I was just soaking up what was on the surface. So I began to think about that other tree that I pulled up. Well, that tree's main purpose, if you look at this, I mean, it's amazing. This little fella, I thought I was going to go by and yank it up. I began to dig out and dig out, made an awful mess. Finally got it out. Look at the root of that thing. Now, do you think that plant really wants to live? It does. Look at the time it's got in its root, right? This plant, that plant, I don't know that it wants to live. It just, it's a thing of chance. It might do good, it might not do good. And I began to wonder, how many people, how many of us are just surface root people that are by chance hoping everything comes out? Our peace, our joy is tied to our surface roots. We're not really digging to go deep. We're just hoping that the rain comes this week and next week and next week. You see, this really applies to us. We have to have strong, established roots if we're going to endure the times in our life that we face hard times. We have to have deep roots if we want to stay in the soil that's been gathering moisture. If you say, well, you know, I see that, but how does it apply to us? I don't have physical roots. No, you don't have physical roots. I don't have physical roots, but all of us seem to put down roots in one area or another. Our roots are what our focus is, our mind, our heart is. It's what our desire is for. We put roots down in these areas, and some of us, we want to put roots down. The majority of people want to put roots down in their lives as far as their material possessions and what they have. And so we see people that say, okay, I want to get established. So if I'm going to get established, I want to get a job, and I want to put my roots down in that job. And then I want to get a house, and I want to put my roots down in that house, and I want to have financial security. So I'm going to really invest in my education, which is going to lead me to a good job, which is going to give me this root, this structure. And that's what I put my roots into, right? We root ourselves. And then some people, well, they root themselves in their relationship with other people. They might go to school and say, I want to be a part of this group. And young people, you'll have groups you want to be a part of. So you invest yourself. Your root is always seeking to be out there saying, okay, I want to be tied to this group and that group and that group and us. We want to be parts of different groups as far as our social groups. And there are other people that root themselves in their pleasures or their hobbies. I mean, they live for their entertainment, their enjoyment. That's the idea of the world, right? It's like, hey, I'm just living for the weekend, right? I mean, society has given us this view that says, hey, you only live once, and so everything you invest is for your pleasure. You only go around once, so everything you're doing, put your roots toward seeking pleasure to you. So those people root themselves in that, and others, they root themselves in themselves. It's how they look. It's how their outward appearance is, right? This is important to me, so I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to invest in myself in this area so that my outward, whether it's my health or my physical health or my looks or maybe it's my intelligence, I'm going to invest in this because this is what I'm going to put my roots down in. It's what we're seeking. So we all get that, right? We all put roots in something. In any case, if we were to decide what our roots are going to be deepest into, then we have to ask ourselves this question. So today, you know, we're going to examine the hidden part. Anybody can see your stalk. That's exposed to everybody. Anybody can tell whether you're bearing fruit or not. Today, I'm going to ask you to examine your roots, the part that nobody sees. They don't know how deep they're going. You and God, me and God, we know about our roots, right? Amen. You'll be able to answer this question before you leave today. You see, you ask this question, you answer it by asking yourself this: what is it in my life that I'm making sure that I have to have to give me what I want? What is it that I'm making sure I have to give me what I want? And some people immediately will say, hey, it is a money, a financial, a material thing. That's what I'm striving for because that's going to give me what I want. Some people will say, it is my look. What people see in me, it's the friend group I'm with. Some people will say, it's my hobby. That's what I'm focused on. It's this sport or it's this hobby or this is what I'm invested in. And that's what I have to give me what I want out of life. That's where your roots are going into. And just like the root of any living thing is a part of it that seeks out what it needs, we all have roots that we have to put in different areas and we want to draw life from them. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do good in school. There's nothing wrong with having a job. As a matter of fact, I recommend it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to take care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when it becomes the thing that you root yourself in, but you haven't rooted yourself in God, then you're not going to be like this tree that's going to make it through any kind of time. So today, as we think about the roots of a plant, the unseen part, the part that's trying to give the plant what it needs, let's think about our own roots and ask ourselves this question: am I rooted deep? You know, I never seemed to think about that when I was going through those times of withering, those times of not producing fruit, those times of heartache. And now I have to ask myself, am I rooted deep? That's the first problem. As a matter of fact, you could say the root of most of our problems is the root of our problem. We don't examine our roots. We just see the surface, right? We ask ourselves, am I rooted deeply? And if so, then we have to ask ourselves, well, what am I rooted in? Because some people may be rooted deeply, but it's in something that hasn't anything to do with God. See, the Bible tells us that if we want to have the most abundant life here on this earth and we want to have everlasting life with God in heaven, then we need to be planted and rooted in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And it's good to hear you affirm that, because the world is not teaching that today. It tells you to root yourself in success, root yourself in fame, root yourself in pleasure, root yourself in mediocrity, root yourself in some kind of diversified stand which compromises what the Bible says. But the Bible says, root yourself in God through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a continual message. Psalms 92, verse 13. Listen to this statement made by the psalmist. He said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So it has to do what you're planted in. And then the next thing that I read you is what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 5. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what it's telling us in two ways: if I plant myself in God through Jesus Christ, then my life here will flourish. I'll enjoy the joy, that peace that Paul talks about. But not only that, if I plant myself in Jesus, then I will enjoy everlasting life. You see, if I plant myself in my job, there will be a day I can't do my job. If I plant myself in my income, there will be a day my income runs out. If I plant myself in my health, there will be a day my health fails me. If I plant myself in my relationships, I'm leaving it up to all these variables that can affect my relationships. All those things will pass away. The Bible says in clear words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. So I have to root myself in God through his son, Jesus Christ. And if I do that, not only will I get a confidence and a peace to live in this world, I'll get everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus, they tried to kill him and they couldn't. He was resurrected, right? He lives forever. And so he's the first fruit of our resurrection, which means we follow him. Wouldn't you want to be rooted in something that never dies?
Amen.
So why don't we think about our roots? It's the root of our problem. You see, we become planted in Jesus Christ when we become planted in God, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and pledge to live for God. You see, we talked about salvation last week. We talked about not just salvation by word, but salvation by really believing, accepting, and owning it, right? By letting God look in our heart and know that it wasn't just words. We've made a commitment to God to make Jesus our Lord. We've realized at some point in time of our life, we're not connected to God. You see, you can't get saved until you realize you're lost. And the devil's job is to have people think you're okay. Because if people think they're okay, they're never going to get saved. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, it says there's none righteous, no, not one. It tells us for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, there's my problem. In the beginning, I have to realize that God is holy and I'm not holy. I can't be connected to God. I can never be rooted in God until I take care of this issue I have between me and God. It's a three-letter word, starts with S, ends with N. You know what the word is? Sin. Sin stands between me and God. So God said, I love you. In spite of you, I love you. I loved you before you loved me. I love you so much that I'm willing to take the most precious thing I have, and I'm going to watch him be beaten, spit on, mocked, the flesh tore from his body, ridiculed, so that you can have eternal life. He's going to be the sacrifice for your sin. You have to believe. You have to accept him. You have to repent of your sins. And then you have to ask him to be Lord of your life. Well, Lord of your life is an important thing, because lordship means that you're saying, I'll do what you tell me to do. Right. See, when you say Jesus Christ our Lord, that means, hey, in some part, you're asking him what to do, not saying this is what I'm going to do. So you're planted in God when you accept Jesus as your Savior. Not because you've grown up in church, not because you've done some good deeds, not because you were in some denomination that said, hey, listen, we're going to qualify you by having you pass this course. Those courses are great because they teach the Word of God. But unless they teach that you have to make a conscious decision to say, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, I believe in you, then it's misleading. I believe in any Bible course teaching more about God. That's what we need. But it is not the means of your salvation, head knowledge. The means of your salvation is heart knowledge. When you accept Jesus and say, I want it to be mine. That's when you're planted in Christ. Amen. When you're planted in Christ, you're rooted. Then you become rooted in Christ. And each one of us has the opportunity to live as God's plant or God's tree and bear fruit for God. But the thing that we fail to give attention to is our root system. I go back to that passage of Scripture that was near and dear to my heart in Psalms 1 that says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, talking about God's Word. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. He puts his roots down in it, right? He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. You know what that tree does? That tree's roots are going right in the water. It's by the water. It's by the Word, right? So he's talking about it. You know what it says after that? It says he'll bring forth fruit in his season. Amen. It says his leaf won't wither. And then, get this. You talk about motivational speeches. It says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Now, what he's saying is, you say, oh, are you preaching a prosperity gospel? Hey, I'm prosperous because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've got a home in heaven. I've got fellowship with God. Anything after that, surface stuff. I've got the real thing, right? That's the prosperity gospel I'm preaching. Everything else in the world, Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said it'll pass away. Moth and rust will destroy it. Thieves could break in and steal it, right? But he's talking about being rooted by the water, rooted by the Word. And just like this article in the paper talked about, the extreme conditions that make that corn unfruitful and the rain that make it fruitful, it failed to talk about the reason why. And I think we fail to talk about the reason why. You see, it's one thing to say this is the way I was or this is the way I am because of this condition. Like the article. The corn didn't produce because it didn't have rain. The corn did produce, and here's the fruit, because it did have rain. You see, it didn't talk about the reason we're talking about it. And we don't talk about that in ourselves. The reason is a root issue. It's part of our makeup. We have a choice to put our root deeper or keep our roots on the surface. Once you put your root in Jesus Christ, your root and plant in him, you have a choice to be surface or you have a choice to put your root in Jesus. What did he say? Rooted and grounded in him, right? Remember? You see, we judge life by these extreme times that happen in our life when we face trials or heartaches, and the times of our life when things are going good and we have constant showers of good things, but we fail to focus on how deeply we're rooted in Christ. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. We judge our days, our weeks. You have a good day? Well, it wasn't a good day. This happened and this happened and this happened. You have a good week? Well, it's a trying week. I mean, it was a hard week. I've talked to people, and that's the way they judge it. You just ask the question, how you doing? Well, it's been a tough day. How you doing? Well, it's been a hard week. Been a hard month. Been a hard year. Been a hard decade. Seems like every time I turn around, it's so oppressive and hot and nothing's going my way and no kind of nourishment is getting to me and I'm not bearing any fruit and life isn't working out and I don't feel like I have any peace and joy. You know what that is? That's one of those hot, stifling summer days like we've been seeing where you walk outside and you're like, whew, man, and you look at the corn and it's dried up and you look at the crust on the top of the ground. Guess what? Every one of us are going to have times like that in our life. Everyone, they're going to come. God said it's going to rain on the just and it's going to rain on the unjust. You're going to have some days where there's showers of blessings. Blessings are coming, and here it is. You're going to have days when it's just hot. There's not a cloud in the sky to give relief, and there's nothing that comes. And the difference in you having peace and joy will be the difference in your root system. It won't be what's above ground. It'll be what's buried deep. You see, if we're rooted deeply in Christ, then we can make it through the hard times because He'll always nourish us. You see, we can praise Him in the times when He has His blessings because He showers them on us, but not every time is going to be put in the category where it's like, man, what a great day. Everything worked out my way. Anybody ever have those all the time? Yeah. Not many. Life hands us some disappointments. It's because it's life. It's a life where we live in a world of sin. It's going to happen. So I think I want to focus on if I'm rooted in the right thing, if I'm deeply rooted in the right thing. And I look back and I think about what the Word tells us. I remember the Apostle Paul. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. We studied this on Wednesday nights, but the church of Ephesus, he wrote a letter in Ephesians 3, and I want you to listen. He included his prayer. Listen to Paul's prayer. I just want to pray this. I want to read this prayer Paul wrote in verses 17. We begin to read, and this was to the church at Ephesus. He said, this was his prayer for them, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I look back at my Christian life and my Christian walk, and I said, hey, you know, I've been saved almost 40 years. And I look back at all those years, and I can tell you now, we could all act sanctimonious in here and say, listen, I got with God, and boy, it's been a good trip ever since. I've been so close to Him. I can't say that. I don't know if you can. There have been seasons of drought in my life. There have been seasons of time, seasons when things have happened. And I can look back at those times and I can say, what was it that made me fall apart? What was it that made me doubt? What was it that made me fear? What was it that made me in such turmoil that I couldn't get things off my mind, that I worried, that I had an ulcer, that I was upset, that I couldn't just overcome it? What was it? It was that my roots were on the surface. You see, we get trained sometimes. God blesses us. So we sometimes get trained to where, okay, this good thing happened, and this good thing happened, and this good thing happened. So we're fine for our roots just to be shallow. We're soaking it up here. We're soaking it up here. So because of that, we don't even think about putting our roots any deeper. I'll get all I need right up here on the surface. Now, how many people have lived a life to where all those days kept raining showers of good things on you day after day after day? It just doesn't happen like that, does it? So if your roots aren't deep, it's one of those things that it's a test for us. I mean, even when times are going good, we think about the good times. Hey, what are we going to do with this? And what are we going to do with this? And what are we going to do with this? We should continue, even in the good times, to be able to say, Lord, I thank you for this. I want to stay deeply rooted in you because I know this might not always be the case, right? But we don't think about our roots like that, do we? We take it for granted. And as Paul prayed, he was basically saying, God's willing to fill us with Himself. Paul prayed, I pray that you're filled with the fullness of God. Let me ask you something today. If you're a Christian, if you're here, when's the last time you felt like you were filled with the fullness of God? The fullness of God. I'm not talking about a surface feeling, man. Church was good today, but as soon as Monday came, I mean, I'll tell you what, I was back in the same way. The fullness of God. Do you know you can't get filled with the fullness of God? You can't bear fruit unless your roots are firmly, deeply rooted in Him, where your sustenance comes through God, not by these other things that happen in life. When I look at this Colossians chapter 2, and I'm able to see that Paul was giving what I think is a 7-step process here, I'll go over these briefly, just to show you, he was giving us a great message here as he gave the church at Colossae. I want you to notice verses 6 and 7. It gives us the importance of being rooted in Christ, because I don't want you to leave here today and say, Pastor Mike said you need to be rooted in Christ. No, God said you need to be rooted in Christ, okay? And God's word said you need to be rooted in Christ. Listen to this verse. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Okay, here's your first two steps. You can't be rooted in God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. You're not going to migrate into God. It's not that I've been in church long enough, I've done this, I've been baptized, I've done these kind of things, I've went through the process. No, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, meaning the only way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then God tells us, if we look through his word, he's consistently, when he gave a command, well, you can look back at the Ten Commandments. What was he trying to get across to us? There shall have no other gods before me. So what was he saying? He was saying, you have to have the root firmly fixed in me. You see, this root here is a surface root. It can take growth or pleasure from anything in the world that just comes like this. But when hard time comes, you're not going to have fruit, your corn's going to wither. Sure, we can talk about those weeks and those people that have had good fortune come, and that's this ear of corn. And that's what the articles are going to be out. This happened to them, that happens to them. But you don't hear it when you go through those seasons of drought, but we all will go through them, right? You can have this plant. This plant is a weed, and these roots ran right here. But do you know, these roots, there's thousands and thousands of little roots. You know why? They're searching for every little nutrient on the top surface. They get so busy, caught up, I'll look this way, I'll look that way, I'll look this way. This one said, I'm going to go to the source. That's right. Except with us, we got to be rooted to the source, right? One main root. We can have those other things go on, but it's a simple picture in our mind. So, as we talk about receiving Jesus as our Lord, you have to set the direction and root yourself. That's your choice. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then after that, it says, listen, so walk in him. You're not doing a drive-by salvation experience. Hey, that sounded good. I had an emotional experience. Maybe I do need Jesus. Jesus, will you save me? Now, on with my life. But you know, that's even the process that's being taught a lot today in churches. Hey, just say this prayer and you're going to be good. No, walk in him. You didn't just meet him. You held his hand. You continued on a journey with him. So walk in him, right? You see, your salvation, it's a perpetual process where you have an opportunity to grow closer and closer to God. Number three comes to us from verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen to this, all these different things. Number three, rooted in him. Basically, put your roots in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We can't be rooted in all these many different things. Rooted in him. Does it say, root yourself in him and all these other things? No. Did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33, seek God first along with all these other things? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's a priority thing. Root in him. Root yourself in him. You need to be able to say, with your heart and mind, I need God more than anything in order to live, so he's what I'm going to put my roots in. You see, you can enjoy plenty of these other things in life, but you can't have the joy and peace of being in God's will and producing good spiritual fruit in good times or in hard times unless you're rooted in God. Amen. Anybody can do good when the rain is coming, right? But the rain doesn't always come. It says, build up in him. And I like this. This means that you'll experience growth in your life. You'll become stronger. You'll accomplish more because your roots are deeper into your relationships. Build up in him. That little tree right there was tough to pull up. I made a mess pulling that thing up. I said, it's going to break. It's going to break. So I'm going to dig it out, right? So I got in there digging it out. That root was tough. Why? Because it was established. It was built up in him. Number five, he says, established in the faith. What does this mean? It means you'll be secure in what you believe in. You won't be fragile. This implies a strong, permanent, consistent position with God, not someone who's easily drawn away from God. Oh, I heard this thing. Maybe I'll believe this way. Oh, I'm faithful now, but I'm not faithful. It means established, consistent, faithful, established in your faith. It's not just coming and saying, God, I'm going to let this root touch you, but hey, once in a while, I just need to have my time, so I can't worship you today. I'm going to do this for myself. No, it means established in Him. It means consistent in Him. It means strong in Him. We're getting ready to send a lot of our students back to college, back to high school, back to middle school. And do you know if they are in a college or high school, the chances of them getting taught the Bible are slim and none. You know what they are going to be taught? They're going to be taught the different philosophies of life. They're going to be taught man's version of what's right and wrong. So if they are not established and solid, they're going to be uprooted and blown over. And they're going to come home and say, well, you don't understand this and you don't understand this. This is why it's so important. This is why God says established in the faith. And by the way, parents, it is your job to root your children in the Word of God. From the time they're in the nursery and they're learning a little bit, and from the time they're walking and talking, and you know, you've got 2 and 3 year olds that can sing about Jesus and praise you, say they don't know what they're saying. They know the name of Jesus. And they know that church people are caring and loving for them. And as they grow up and they learn these things, I've seen all these children come to salvation knowledge this year. Next year, you'll see more come. And as they go up through their youth and they're involved in something, they're getting rooted. They're getting rooted because the devil wants to pull them up by the roots. He wants the storm to come by and blow them over. So being rooted is important. Not in our philosophies, but in His. And He says, as you have been taught. What does this mean? Well, this tells us how we can become deeper rooted in God. Well, how? By learning more about God. As we talk about these children, these youth, and us, when we have an opportunity to come in here on Sunday morning, that's great. We hear the Word of God. But guess what? We have an opportunity on Sunday night to come in and hear the Word of God. We have an opportunity on Wednesday night to come in and hear the Word of God. You say, oh, you're pushing just coming to church. Well, yes. The Bible says where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And unless you're having family Bible study at home, I'm just saying, not only do we think about, yes, I need to root my children, I need to be rooted. Because I could be just like this other plant. My roots have a tendency to go this way and this way, right? The enterprise of my life. That's what we do. You know, when somebody has a business, they have a business. When somebody has an enterprise, they have multiple businesses. And that's what we have going on, right? Hey, listen, I need to get this here. I need to get this. And I'm focusing on this. And this is my education. And this is my job. And this is my hobby. And this is my relationship. So our roots are like this one little plant. They just go everywhere, but none go to the source. We get fed off of all these different things. And we get like that, right? He says, here's how you get your roots deeper. To be rooted and grounded, as he said, to be rooted and built up, what do we have to do? He says, as you have been taught, which means by learning more about God, by reading his word, by studying his word, by worshiping him, by listening to the preaching and teaching of God's word, by praying to him, by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting us. All those things represent the word of God. Your prayer life, the scripture, the preaching and teaching of God's word, and the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God speaking to you. God wants to have a conversation with you every single day. Amen. And if you are a person that says, I need to be rooted in him, then you are seeking that. You're not just saying, hey, it's Sunday, we need to go to church. You're saying, hey, this is another time I get to come and be rooted stronger in God because I know I'm having storms. I know I'm having trials, and hey, things are going good. I need to go and praise God because I don't want to forget that right now I feel like I'm on easy street. Everything's going good. Listen, that's when you tend to get your roots back up at the surface, right? The Bible says, Romans 10:17, a clear, simple verse. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear the word of God, if you don't receive the word of God by prayer, by scripture reading, by preaching and teaching, by listening to the Holy Spirit, then your faith is not going to grow.
That's right.
And then 7, it says basically that we have to let our roots make us abound with thanksgiving. You see, I have to thank God in those bad times and in the good times. He said, how can you thank God in the bad times? It's not easy. But even James tells us to glorify God, to be able to say, hey, I know I'm going through tribulation. How do you do it? I do it because I have a confidence that no matter what the world throws against me, it can't get me. And even though the devil wants me to convince me to fear and worry about even my own physical life, the Bible tells me that once I'm alive in Christ, I can never die. The Bible tells me that if God is for me, who can be against me? So it lets me know I'm on the winning side. It tells me I'm never going to be alone. It tells me to come to Him if I'm labor or heavy laden. It tells me that He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, right? It tells me all those things. So that's when I have to praise God. Yes, God, it hadn't rained in a while, but look, my leaves are still green, right? Hadn't rained in a while, but I can bear fruit. Do you know? That's when you're going to stand out to somebody who's in a drought. They're going to look for the thing that's blooming when nothing else is blooming. That's when you're going to stand out. When you go through your hard summer, when you go through your hard time and drought, but you're producing fruit and your leaves are green, somebody's going to look and say, how does that happen? And you can tell them, listen, my root is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't stand out when everybody else is green and bearing fruit, right? Just consider it. I'm just saying. The Bible tells us how important it is that we're firmly, deeply rooted in the faith in God by reading verses 8 through 10 in Colossians 2. It tells us that the devil is trying to lead us astray. It begins by saying, beware. Beware, right? Now, when you see the word beware, should you overlook it or should you listen? Because God put that word in here. Listen to Colossians 2. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of this world and not in Christ. Beware. Well, this is a pretty big deal. Well, let's look at this. You see, when the Bible tells us this, it points out several things. It says, basically, the devil tries us to lead us astray, to put our roots into these different areas. Well, what's the one area? In our own intellect. How many people today think they can figure out a way to get to God besides coming through Jesus? How many people today think they have a way to be spiritual? Well, you see these coexist stickers everywhere, right? There's all kinds of different ways. Oh, you can't say this religion doesn't work. Everybody's God is the same God. You hear these lies all the time, right? By men's intellect. Man thinks he can figure everything out. And some godless philosophy, it says, or maybe our own financial success or our quest for pleasure, our own religion of good works, this inner peace that we think we can have without Jesus. Lots of people. He says, beware of all these teachings. He basically says at the end of this that if we root ourselves firmly and deeply in Jesus, that He's all we need. Listen to what it says in verse 10. It says, mark this in your Bible. It says, and ye are complete in Him. Amen. This is a sermon in itself. It says, in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That means there's no power, there's no force, there's no ability that is above God Almighty. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, if you're connected and rooted in Him, you're complete in Him. That means you don't need anything else. We're looking for every place for our roots to go. And Jesus told us, seek Him first and watch all these other things. I know it's late to bring this into the conversation, but I think it's the best time because when I looked up this definition of root and saw what Webster had to say, it blew my mind. I want you to listen to this. A lot of times we read definitions, but listen to this definition of what a root is. The part of a plant which in most species penetrates the earth. That means it's hidden, right? Listen. It absorbs moisture, it stores food, and also serves, listen, as an anchor and support. Glory to God, right? Now, do you think God wants us to be rooted in Him? Are we those people that are in fear of being blown over, ripped out of the ground when any storm of life comes? Are we those people that are withering when the sun shines and We don't feel like there's been good days in a while of blessings. Are we making it? Are we rooted in Him? You see, without a good deep root system, this plant's always in danger of dying, either through malnutrition or being uprooted by a strong wind. If you go back to Matthew 13, I want to close with this. Matthew 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want you to reference it, okay? And I'm just going to speak to this. Matthew 13. It's the parable of the sower. How many people know the parable of the sower? And I promise, I want to close with this, but it's important. I want you to see this together. What Jesus was trying to tell us here was a parable about the root system of all these things, that they were, these seeds He was sowing. You say, no, He was telling you about the seeds. Some fell here, some... And I've preached on the parable of the sower, and we've talked about sowing, but I saw something in this. Listen, in all these cases, if you read Matthew 13, you'll see at the beginning that He speaks a parable, the power of the sower. And He says, a man went out to sow. And he threw some seeds, and the first seeds fell by the wayside, right? And the birds came and ate them. The second seeds, they fell on stony places, right? And they sprung up, but then they didn't last long. They withered when the sun came out and scorched them. And the third seed, they were in the thorny ground. So they went in the thorny grounds, and the thorns choked them out. So you know the parable. If you do, say amen. All right, now listen. I want you to see how this applies to the root system, because you see, those seeds that fell by the wayside, if you listen to the explanation of Matthew 13 in verses 19 through 23, I'm going to read this to you briefly. It won't take long. Listen, this is Matthew 13, verse 19 through 23. He explains the parable. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself. Did you hear that? He doesn't have a root in himself. Did you hear that? He doesn't have a root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when the tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That means he falls away. He also that receiveth the seed in the thorns, he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, 60, and some 30. Now, I want you to listen to this, because you say, no, that's about the seed. No, see, the seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is the word of God. Now, when it is sown, the way that you measure the success of the seed is if the seed takes root, deep root, and grows. You say, what do you mean? Well, the seeds by the wayside, number one, they never formed a root because the birds came and picked them up. That's somebody that came in, heard the word, they're listening today by radio or by CD, or maybe you're sitting here, you hear it and you're saying, yeah, that's good. I can't make it part of my belief. There's no root that ever begins to form, right? The second kind is the seed that fell in the stony places. You say, that means fell in the rocks? No, it's not talking about that. Translation of stony places means in land that has stone underneath it. I live in faith. Other people here might live in the surrounding area here in faith. Listen, we have rocks in our yard that just bound up out of our yard, big stones, and there's some that are under the earth, and I can tell you where the ones that are under the earth are, because when I have grass, I like to keep my grass green, but guess what? You give 2 or 3 weeks of dry weather, and I'll water and water until I just get to thinking about what my water bill is going to be, and then I stop. When I stop, that sun in that shallow soil about a foot, you'll start to see that grass begin to wither. You know why? It's not deeply rooted. It's just not. You'll see the trees that are near those things, you'll see the leaves fall off of them because their roots aren't deeply rooted. They're on top of that. And he says, hey, that's a root problem. That stony soil. And then he says the thorn problem. You say, well, that can't have anything to do with the roots. He says the thorns choke them out. You say, well, yeah, thorns will grow up and choke them out. Listen, thorns don't choke out plants on the top side. You know what thorns do? They compete for the nourishment of the roots. Just like us. When we plant ourselves in the midst of all these different things in life, we don't call them thorns. We call them opportunities or things we want, and all those compete. Then you know that that plant that's supposed to be growing is not getting the nourishment from the source. You have all those things. That thorny ground, that's more like us today. All these things are competing for it. You say, well, what do we do? Well, there's one clear, simple answer. You have a choice to deeply root yourself in God through Jesus Christ. You have a choice to focus on your relationship with Him, to make sure you're talking to Him, make sure you're reading His Word, make sure you're worshiping Him and coming together and worshiping, praising Him every chance and opportunity you have. You have a chance to make sure that you're focusing on Him, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You have a choice. That's what's going to deeply root us. Or we can be like that stalk of corn that just waits for random things to come along, and that's when life's going to be good. And we can go on the rest of our life judging it by saying, oh, things are going good and I'm okay, or things are going bad, and you never know which way we're going to go. You ever meet people like that? All the time, got something going on, all the time. Oh, I'm good. No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm not. I'm good. I'm not. You see, we're leaving our life so random. It just depends on what the world's going to throw at me. There's a stability, an anchorship that comes with being rooted in Jesus Christ, right? I want to close again by saying two scriptures that came from the wisest man that ever lived. His name was Solomon. He said in Proverbs 12:3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. You can put your, God calls wicked anything that's not righteous. You can put your root in all these things of the world, but it will not establish you. You can put your root in God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Nobody can pull you up. Amen. And then he goes on in verse 12. Get this. This is big. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, the net, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. What is he meaning? The unrighteous man puts his life plan in place or his scheme in place. Anybody here ever had a life plan or a scheme you put in place? This life plan or scheme is supposed to cover all the areas of our life that we want to prosper in. We put those plans in place, right? It's a net. It's our plan, and we throw it into this area. And if it doesn't succeed there, we pull it in and we throw it into another area. You find people all the time, well, I'm just trying to find what I need to do. I'm just trying to find. We keep throwing nets. And you know what God says? You want to prosper? Listen to the second part of this. But the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Put your root in Jesus Christ. You'll be planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in your season. Your leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you doeth shall prosper. You mean even in the scorching sun, in the windstorms? Yes. Why? I'm anchored fast. My root is deep. I'm getting nourishment that nobody else is getting. Look at my fruit. You see, the root's the part nobody sees, but it's the part that we need to focus on. So today, I want you to think about your roots. This really caused me to examine and say, hey, I can tell all these times in my life when I didn't have the fullness of God, when I was away from it, it was a root problem. It was a root problem. Let me ask you this. Number one, you would need to decide today, and we're going to have an invitation time. And if you can answer this question, if you answer this question, are you rooted in Christ? And you can't answer that. If you don't know that you've had that time when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've realized your sin separates you, you've come to Him and repented of that sin and say, I want the salvation Jesus gives me. If you don't know that you're rooted in Christ, come today. I want to pray with you. God will lead you to come. You can have that strength, that security of being rooted in Christ today. If you call on Him, He won't cast you away. And if you've done that, you're a Christian. I would ask you to ask yourself this today. You're not going to examine anybody's roots but your own. And ask yourself, are your roots deep into Him? Are you like this tree that's got that root that is just searching for Him? Are you like this other plant right now in your life? You know, you're rooted in Christ, but you've got roots going everywhere, man. Your life plan is sort of like a net, and you want to succeed in this and this, and here I've got the responsibilities of life. I got my job, I got my family, I got my kids, I got my success, I got my financial, I got my 401k, I got my plan, I got my retirement, I got the things I own, and so I've got things going everywhere. I can't say that I'm really focused on God. You're not a happy person if you're a Christian. because you can't have your roots going everywhere. He will give you those things, but you have to have that one in Him. Maybe you're a Christian and your roots are on top of the ground like this ear of corn, this stalk of corn. I know you're not happy. Not unless everything's just going right for you right now, but you can think and know it doesn't always go right. You have an opportunity today. Maybe you're here withering. Maybe you're listening and you're withering away because something sunny, oppressive is happening in your life right now. You're no different than that stalk of corn, which you thought, we're going to talk about corn today. Yes. What a great visual picture. Do you want to be so susceptible to whatever happens to you in life that you could be wiped out just with a bad couple of weeks? Or do you want to be firmly planted, deeply rooted in God? You have an opportunity to bow before Him today and say, God, I want my root to be deeper in You. I desire Your Word. Put that desire in me. Have that fellowship with me. Come and talk to Him and make sure that your focus is on Him. Rededicate your life to Him today. Speak to Him and see where you're at right now. Check out your own roots. Nobody else can see them. They're under the ground, right? They either go a little bit or they spread out or they go straight down looking for nourishment. Where are your roots at today? You say, well, I am rooted and grounded. I am amen in You. Everything is good. Then I will guarantee you, you have people you need to pray for today. People in your life, people you work with, your children, your family, your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad, your neighbors, your friend groups, people on your teams, your schoolmates, anybody that you know people that are not rooted in God right now. And listen, a drought's going to come in their life, or it is coming in their life, and they're not feeling it. Come and pray for them to have this understanding and pray for God to continue to impress it upon your mind. Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word, Your message. I pray, God, as You speak it to us, I pray, God, that You compel us to respond today, Lord. You've spoken to us. Now listen as Your children speak to You. In Jesus' name, amen.